My name is Tracy, and I'll be presenting results from the 2009 New York City Community Health Survey looking at HIV testing and mental illness in New York City. And I just wanted to take a moment to acknowledge Drs. Heidi Jones and Dennis Nash from the CUNY School of Public Health who worked with me on this. I have nothing to disclose. So I don't have to tell this group that undiagnosed HIV is a big public health threat. Over 1.1 million people in the U.S. are HIV positive, and about 1 in 5 are unaware that they're positive. So identifying undiagnosed HIV really does two things. First, it provides the opportunity to link that person to care, get them into treatment to help them manage their HIV so that they can have the best foundation possible to lead a healthy life. Second, it decreases the chance of onward transmission, so it acts as a form of secondary prevention. In New York State, over 50,000 people are diagnosed and living with HIV as of the end of 2010, and the majority of those, over 39,000, are in New York City. The infection rate of HIV has been relatively stable over the past 20 years or so, about 50,000 people per year. So to truly stem the spread of the virus, infection rates must be brought down. Over the past few years, national conversations surrounding prevention and treatment have reflected the importance of testing. In 2005, the Preventive Task Force issued recommendations that clinicians screen individuals at an increased risk for HIV between ages of 15 and 65. In 2006, the CDC released guidelines recommending routine opt-out HIV testing for those in medical care settings for those ages 13 to 64, and the following year launched the Expanded Testing Initiative, which focused on reaching disproportionately affected populations and supporting health departments. In 2010, the Office of the President released the National HIV/AIDS Strategy, which focused on three things: to reduce the rate of new HIV infections, to increase access to care and optimize health outcomes for people living with HIV and AIDS, and to reduce HIV health disparities. This past spring, the Preventive Task Force issued revised recommendations from 8 years earlier, now recommending that clinicians screen all adults between the ages of 15 and 65, not just those at an increased risk. And this came on the heels of evidence that routine screening can identify large numbers of previously undiagnosed HIV positive people, and that early initiation of ART can reduce the risk for AIDS-related events and death and reduce the risk of transmission. The grade of A that the Preventive Task Force gave this screening does have some policy implications that I'll get to in just a little bit. In New York, the Bronx Knows campaign was implemented from 2008 to 2011, and the Bronx was targeted because of its high HIV prevalence relative to the city as a whole. 1,700 people were newly diagnosed, and over 3/4 of them were subsequently linked to care. And the success of this campaign inspired replication in Brooklyn. In 2010, New York State passed a new HIV testing law that now required providers to offer an HIV test in most medical care settings. About 2 to 6% of adults experience a severe mental illness within a 12-month period, and that refers to a range of psychiatric disorders that continue over time and cause extensive impediment to the ability to go to work, to conduct day-to-day activities. And there's a solid body of literature that provides evidence that adults with severe mental illness are at a high risk of HIV infection and onward transmission. And indeed, as you can see, infection rates, prevalence rates are higher in this population. Testing rates are also higher. About 1/4 of adults are estimated to experience any mental health disorder within a 12-month period, and only about 1/3 of them receive treatment. So this means that there's a lot of people out there that are experiencing any mental health disorder and are not interacting with the healthcare system, at least not to receive care for their mental health condition. So this could have an impact on whether or not they receive an HIV test, at least in a medical care setting, which is where most of these recommendations and guidelines are focusing on. So we wanted to see, is a history of mental illness associated with higher rates of recent HIV testing in New York City? And among New Yorkers with a mental illness history, what factors are associated with recent HIV testing? So as I mentioned, we used the 2009 New York City Community Health Survey. It's an annual cross-sectional telephone survey, samples approximately 10,000 adults ages 18 and up. If anyone's interested in more information on the methodology, you can use that link. A recent HIV test is defined as having taken an HIV test in the past 12 months. And in this analysis, a history of mental illness was defined as having ever been told by a doctor, a nurse, or other public health professional that you had depression or experiencing frequent mental distress, which is a composite of six questions about mood, known as the Kessler Six, listed here. A quick note regarding severity. The data is self-reported, and frequent mental distress does require the respondent to evaluate themselves to an extent. We also don't know if you've been ever diagnosed with depression, how severe that depression was. So we can't say with absolute certainty whether this person had severe mental illness or a more generalized mental health disorder. Multivariable logistic regression estimated the association of mental illness with HIV testing in the past 12 months. And then we looked at factors associated with recent testing among New Yorkers with a mental illness history, and everything was done with this data. So this is a look at the sample. In 2009, there were 9,934 respondents. 16% had a mental illness history, 11% had a past depression diagnosis, 3% experienced frequent mental distress, and 2% reported both. And the asterisk bolded numbers indicate the percentage is significantly different from the group without a history of mental illness. So you can see that a lower share of those with the mental illness background are younger, ages 18 to 24, are male, and are Black or Asian Pacific Islander compared to those without this background. And a greater share are a little bit older, ages 45 to 64, female and white. 34% of New Yorkers with a history of mental illness reported having taken an HIV test in the preceding 12 months, and that is significantly different from the 30% of New Yorkers without a mental illness history. This chart looks just at New Yorkers who said, yes, I have taken an HIV test in the past 12 months, and it highlights where there are significant differences between New Yorkers with a mental illness history and those without. So if you start with the set of bars to the far left, you can see that a greater share of those ages 18 to 24 with the mental illness background reported a recent HIV test than 18 to 24-year-olds without the mental illness background. Moving on, the next set of bars, adults not working with a mental illness history reported a recent test at significantly greater share than those not working without this background. For a marital status, a significantly greater share of those with a mental illness history who were widowed reported testing. A significantly larger share of adults who used a condom at last sexual encounter with a mental illness history reported a recent test compared to those without the mental illness history. And a greater share of adults residing in the Bronx had with a mental illness history reported a recent test compared to those in the Bronx without it. And then by insurance type, adults with Medicare or Medicaid with a mental illness background reported a recent test at a significantly greater share than those with Medicare or Medicaid without that background. So we now know that a higher share of New Yorkers with this history report an HIV test, and we know how they differ from those without this history. So we turn to adjusted analysis. So you can see here that New Yorkers with the history of mental illness had 1.25 the odds of reporting a recent HIV test than those with no mental illness history. And this controls for general demographics, so age, race, sex, and income, as well as those covariates where there were significant differences among those who reported a test between those with a mental illness history and those without. So that was employment status, marital status, borough, insurance type, and condom use at last sexual encounter. All right, so now turning to look only among New Yorkers with a history of mental illness, we wanted to identify factors associated with recent testing. So you can see that the younger the age, the greater the odds of reporting a test. Black and Hispanic adults had 3.42 and 2.65 the odds of reporting a test compared to white adults, and gender was not associated with higher odds of testing. This is still looking among New Yorkers with a history of mental illness. Self-employed adults had greater odds of a recent HIV test compared to those who were employed for wages, and those living in the Bronx or Manhattan had greater odds compared to those in Staten Island, and poverty and marital status were not associated with significantly different odds of reporting a test. Compared to not using a condom at last sexual encounter, those who reported using one had 2.33 the odds of reporting a recent test, and having Medicaid coverage was also associated with greater odds of reporting the test compared to being uninsured. But really, interestingly, we looked at this a little bit more. Adults who were insured at the time of the survey had no different odds than those who were uninsured, or those who were insured all year had no different odds than those who were uninsured at any time in reporting a recent test. It was only looking at Medicaid compared to being uninsured where the odds changed significantly. So encouragingly, New Yorkers with a history of mental illness are being tested. The percentage of those who reported a recent test is significant, with the testing levels reported in the literature for adults with severe mental illness. And while certain demographic factors are associated with greater odds of testing among those with a mental illness history, namely age and race, the real factor of interest that emerged was the Medicaid coverage, as this could be used as a potential lever in identifying undiagnosed HIV-positive adults. As I said, being insured did not result in greater odds of testing compared to being uninsured, but having Medicaid did, and this was true regardless of mental health history. So capitalizing on this factor really could be an effective way to encourage the routine opt-out testing recommended by the CDC and the Preventive Task Force and mandated by New York State law, and also target this high-risk group at the same time. The Affordable Care Act actually expands Medicaid to 133% of poverty for states that choose to expand the program, of which New York is one. And according to what we found, 1/4 of adults with a mental illness history are under poverty, and they would qualify for Medicaid under the law. Another 17% were between 100 and 200% of the poverty, so some of them would also be eligible for Medicaid. And the plans would be beneficial to this group, also because of what they cover. The plans must include an essential health benefits package, so the same as those sold through the new health insurance marketplaces must include. And one of those 10 benefits is mental health and substance use disorder services. And this is an expansion beyond the Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act of 2008 that doesn't require insurers to offer mental health benefits, only that such benefits have to be comparable to medical and surgical benefits if they are offered. So now in 2014, individuals with a mental health condition like frequent mental distress or depression will not only have insurance, but they'll have insurance that must include mental health benefits, which could encourage more people to seek mental health services, necessitating an interaction with the healthcare system where they will presumably be offered an HIV test. The revised Preventive Task Force recommendations that I spoke about earlier that gave HIV testing a grade of A also means that under the law, the testing will be offered with no cost sharing to the individual. The plans in the marketplaces must also include a minimum number of essential community providers in their networks. So providers funded by Ryan White qualify as such, so it will be important to have them included in these plans so that there are adequate providers available for those who are newly diagnosed, identified through testing, and now looking for care. It is a cross-sectional survey, so results can't show causation. Possible sources of bias include response bias, as the data is self-reported, as well as social desirability bias. And results might not be generalizable outside New York City, so implications for other urban areas really should be made with caution. It does provide a local look at the relationship between mental illness history and HIV testing in New York City. And what's really important is how it looks at that relationship. A lot of the literature on this issue comes from the provider side. It looks at claims data or uses a group of individuals with a diagnosed severe mental illness in a medical care setting, and then looks at HIV testing behaviors, infection rates, and prevalence within those groups. In this study, the self-reported data, although it's a limitation, is also a bit of a strength because this group of people are not necessarily already in medical care. So it's this approach that allows us to then see the relationship between having Medicaid and in HIV testing versus being uninsured. And I'll stop there.